question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Okay, let's get back to it, everyone. Nice to have all of you aboard with Mary and me today. It's time for the Chief Travel Leader segment of our show. And for the next 9 or 10 minutes, we're going to check in with Chip Rogers. He's CEO of the American Hotel and Lodging Association. This portion of the program is sponsored by Preferred Hotels and Resorts.
And wherever your travels may take you this spring, whether it's an important celebration or maybe it's essential business, Preferred Hotels and Resorts is offering some excellent offers right now, including their last-minute escapes, their bed and breakfast specials, or stay more and save more deals.
And something we've created with them for every listener of our show is you can now sign up for exclusive elite status in their popular I Prefer loyalty program. This is their top level, folks. It delivers so many perks such as room upgrades, priority early check-in and late check-out, private rates. You're going to get points for free nights, meals, hotel activities, and more. Just go to our website, rmworldtravel.com, click on the I Prefer banner right there at the top of the homepage to enroll in exclusive elite status as a listener of the show, and then book some of the deals to go experience.
All right, now we're going to talk hotels and hospitality and reconnect with Chip Rogers of the American Hotel and Lodging Association. He is holding for us on that show hotline. Let's get right to him for today's Chief Travel Leader interview.
Chip, Mary and I welcome you back to America's number one travel radio show and the million or so listeners we've got tuned in right now with us around the country.
Always good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, nice to have you with us today. So listen, there's a lot for us to talk about together today for sure. I want to start off on a positive note. This week it was announced that the Blackstone Group and Starwood Capital agreed to acquire Extended Stay America for $6 billion. It's a 23% premium over what their shares have traded for over the past month. Extended Stay America, for our listeners around the country, if they're not familiar, you know, it's a mid-price chain. I think they have about 650 locations. And last year, when the average hotel occupancy rate was around 40%, since they have suites with kitchens and other amenities, they had about a 75% occupancy rate. And I bring that up to you because clearly it's good news, Chip, for the industry overall. What do you think it says about the way Americans may be traveling now and in the future?
Well, I think this idea of working from anywhere has caught on in a major way. Certainly Blackstone, who has a history of making wise investments, isn't doing this because they think that segment of our industry is a problem. In fact, it's a huge growth opportunity. And so as Americans begin to come out of the pandemic and think about how their new normal is with respect to travel and working and doing remote work, a lot of that can be done in a hotel. And so, of course, hotel rooms that supply things like kitchenettes and high-speed internet and maybe even a small working area, like many of these extended stay products have, they're going to be in high demand. Blackstone certainly understands that. Extended Stay has done a great job with it, and I think it really speaks to where we're headed as a travel economy.
Okay, Chip, let's talk about where the industry stands today. The inconsistencies of our state and local governments continue to be a little frustrating and possibly part of hampering a real recovery for travel. On a national level, the CDC is still recommending people don't travel unless they have to, even though more and more places are reopening and vaccinations in the U.S. are really, you know, outpacing much of the rest of the world, at least at this point. How is this impacting the hotel industry, and what are you doing at AHLA to help the hotels and support them?
Well, look, this idea of vaccination is really all focused on getting consumer confidence back into people. You had a certain segment of the society who was going to travel no matter what, and then you have a certain segment of the society that says they're not going to travel at all until they get a flashing green light. Mm-hmm. The vaccinations take us towards that direction. And so we want to make sure that people feel safe, that they have the health confidence and the financial confidence to get out there and travel again. But, you know, you mentioned local and state policy, and it really has an impact. I'll give you a perfect example. I'll give you four cities that this time of year are almost always identical in occupancy, and I'll show you the difference. You got Miami and Tampa in Florida. Last week, they ran 72% occupancy. Los Angeles and San Diego last week ran 53% occupancy. Hmm. Normally, during this time of year, those four cities are almost identical because of the warm weather, people wanting to see the beaches and just get out. And yet, right now, there's almost a 20% difference, and that's because Florida has been open for business and California has not.
Right.
And so local policy makes a difference.
Well, it absolutely mm-hmm. does. I mean, we actually are looking at a few locations to take the show on remote, and we've been offered a number of places in California, but it's tough to recommend going out there right now because it's a challenge versus Texas or Florida and so forth. But you know, I've said this to a few people now, that really any good business person knows this firsthand. that through challenge often comes innovation and resiliency. So would love to know from your perspective, you know, what aspects of the hotel industry do you think that operators across the board right now are doing better than maybe they have in past years?
Well, overall efficiency, there's no question about it. Understanding what consumers want. You know, if you go back 2 years ago and, you know, you're running in some places in the summer 85, 90% occupancy, your place is going to fill up whether you were doing a good job or not. Well, right now that's not the case. And so really an attention to what consumers want, and clearly what they're asking for is cleanliness, safety, and frankly, high-speed internet, because as I mentioned a moment ago, there's so many people working remotely now. They've got to be able to connect with work even when they're at a hotel. And so that part of the operations has improved dramatically, and I think that's going to stick with us for a while. And so, you know, hoteliers, like everybody else, when times are tough, they're going to tighten the belt and do those things that are most important.
Well, we're very aware of the cleanliness and hygiene protocols that are in place. And I have to say, if another good thing comes out of it, it's good Wi-Fi. That's critical on many levels. Chip, here we are on the first day of spring, over a year since the virus shut everything down. The country certainly endured a lot over the past 12 months. From your position and all the people in hospitality that you connect with each day, where's the biggest need in the industry right now? And for all the government officials, business operators, all the travelers that we have tuned in, what's your message to everyone today?
Consistent policies matter, as my reference earlier to the difference between Florida and California, but finding a way to make sure we're opening up events and conventions, that is so critical because, yes, places where you're close to a beach are doing quite well right now across the country, and the future bookings for the summer are really outpacing in some places better than 2019. The real struggle are in convention cities like a Chicago, a New York, a Las Vegas, even in Orlando, where because the restrictions on meetings have really pushed people away, that these things aren't getting booked for this year, people looking to the next year. And the problem is, as you know, these hotels with the 700 to 1,000 rooms, those are the hotels that employ the most people.
Right.
And so we've got to find a way to get people back into these large meetings and conferences. And it can be done safely. There's no question about it.
Well, yeah. What you just said on that, you know, I was talking, I guess, about a week ago now with an executive at Preferred Hotels and Resorts. And, you know, she said something to me that really it sticks with me. And when I say it to you, it's going to feed right into what you just said, because she said, whatever we think was predictable or routine pre-pandemic, you know, it's almost entirely the opposite right now in the hotel sector. And specifically, as you said, you know, hotels and resorts, you know, near a beach or in the mountains, they're doing relatively well. But those big city hotels and convention city properties really are struggling in a major way. There's, you know, and some of them are not even open yet. I mean, that's another big issue. And it's not only because of the business travel that's collapsed and the convention business, but also the international travelers are not coming to the U.S.
Your international travelers are not coming to the U.S. The rescue packages that have been given by the federal government, particularly the PPP, keep in mind that is designated for hotels of 500 employees or fewer. So the hotels that have actually been hurt the most, the largest urban city center hotels, are the ones that have had the least access to any type of assistance. And so, yeah, that is a major, major problem because it impacts jobs, it impacts the tax basis in many of these large urban centers. And that's something that most importantly needs to be corrected.
All right. Well, real quick, we only have about a minute and a half left with you. But coming up on Tuesday this week, I want to give you this opportunity. I know you and the American Hotel and Lodging Association are going to be hosting the Stars of the Industry Awards. Clearly, you know, we all know 2020 was certainly a challenging year. But can you share, you know, what you're going to be recognizing and who? Maybe not the specifics yet because the awards aren't there, but
not
what's the purpose?
Yeah, I can't tell you the winner yet, but I will tell you this. It's every year, you know, we have the opportunity to recognize those people that are on the ground in the hotels that truly are the backbone of our industry. They make the difference. They're the ones that make your stay so pleasurable. And this annual event recognizes them. This year, in particular, some of the stories that we've heard really just rise to the level of heroism. I mean, things that people have done to help out during this pandemic have just been amazing. And in many ways, it's tear-jerking. So we love this annual event because it gets to recognize the most important people, and this year is very special.
Well, certainly. I'm sure you have many of those. And
many heroes.
And when you think
industry,
about that,
yeah.
You know, we all encounter, whether it's the front desk team or whether, you know, in our case, we work with a lot of general managers or executives at properties when we go there, but it is all the way down from whether it's the bellman or whether it's somebody housekeeping or just, you know, cooks we've met. I mean, so many, there's just just so many factors there. And then all the industries that supply that. But, Chip, as always, very nice for these check-ins. We really appreciate it. We hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for spending some time with us today, okay?
Thank you.
Chip, thanks so much.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was a, you know, just an honest conversation of what's going on out there. And
good to end on that note, recognizing
some with the
people
awards
in the industry.
Absolutely. Yeah. Folks, we are going to put a wrap on the B block right now. Means that two segments of the show are complete. We still have eight more to go today, which we are thankful for. And we're going to get to it all as soon as we come back. So stay with us. RM World Travel will be back after these messages.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back, and you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.